You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live This Week, featuring news and commentary on This Week in Black Hollywood. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live This Week, Dario Christie.
Hey, what's up, everybody? You're watching Black Hollywood Live This Week. I'm your host, Dario Christen, and here joining me in the studio is Courtney Stewart.
Hello.
And DJ Jesse J.
What up?
We have a variety of different topics we're going to be discussing today, including Tyler Perry's In Trouble with Fans, Jay-Z's new $20 million deal with Samson, and the new Cheerios ad has a lot of racist comments that are pretty messed up that we're going to be discussing. Mm-hmm. But first, I want to read last week's BuzzMeter question, which was, do you think Paris Hilton will make it under Young Money? Now, I'm really surprised by this vote right here, but 79% of you said yes, 19% said no, and 2% said undecided.
Shocking.
I thought it would be the reverse. We kind of talked about this a little bit earlier before the show started. So you guys got a lot of faith in Paris Hilton. Mm-hmm. What do you?
Her public wants to see her, apparently.
Apparently.
I'm glad someone does, because
it could be amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe this will be her comeback year. You know,
yeah.
She's making money regardless. So whatever.
Get it, girl.
All right. So we want you guys also vote for the question of today, which is, do you think that Tyler Perry should be removed from the Oprah network? You know, he's released a lot of new shows, Have and Have Nots, the new soap opera, which I had heard gotten pretty good ratings. But apparently there's been some critics who think that Tyler should possibly be removed and some fans that aren't too happy with him with some of his writing and some of his programming. So you guys let us know what you think. We'll read the results for next week.
That's a tough topic.
All right. So, Jesse, what do you got for us for the trending topics?
Unfortunately, I have a couple tough topics to talk about myself. Bruno Mars, this past Monday, Saturday, his mother actually passed away. Bernadette Hernandez, she died Saturday of a brain aneurysm. Mm. Oh. And that's pretty much it. She was 55 years old. She died at the Honolulu at the Queens Medical Center. And no one's really talking about it. They kind of want to, you know, keep it family first. Wow. And then also, Hall of Fame defensive David Deacon passed away too as well. He was 74 years old. He's from the Washington Redskins, and he actually is known for creating the word sack in football. Yeah. Like, I sacked him.
Interesting.
He's legendary.
So they say it was natural causes. He died in his home out here in California on Monday night. So, shout out to everybody part of their families, and we wish you guys the best. Positive note, Serena Williams.
Nice.
She's doing it. She's doing it on the cover of Essence magazine.
She's unbelievable.
Okay.
She is. She's sitting there in her bikini body talking about love your body. Inside the magazine, she talks about how the struggle of kind of adjusting to her body size and being able to love herself. And that's what she really wants to kind of send the message out to everybody. No matter who you are, what size you are, anything, you can look beautiful.
Yeah.
And that is a great message that I think she's putting out there. And, I mean, I've seen her in real life, and she's an Amazon woman.
Yeah, like, she is. Yeah.
That's why I love
it. The fact that people could have ever judged her or called her anything other than that, like, she's beautiful.
That's why it's so great, because she's super fit, but she's a big girl. Like, she's just girthy.
She's not your typical waif small girl.
Exactly. Yeah. So I love that.
And she knows how to dance on a pole, girl.
Listen, she inspires me to go work out.
I know. Look at her guns.
Her guns are serious. And this is my thing too. Like, I remember when they first came out.
That red dress is everything.
She's killing it. But when they first came out, you know, there was a lot of slack that they used to get because of their build.
Yeah.
And I love that. You know, this shows the level of how beauty has come along.
Yeah.
You know, and it shows really how any, like you guys were saying, any size can be beautiful. It's all about attitude and the way you
attitude,
put yourself together.
And she's healthy and fit, and we should be celebrating. Yeah.
It's really funny that we have grown in such a society. You know, we got bubble butt songs coming out. Right. I mean,
I don't know if that's gross.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay.
That's the new baby
to
got
an
back.
Extent, it's a little bit.
Okay. I would not go that far.
All right. Well, maybe someone who ain't growing is Miguel's career because.
Ooh, and we thought it was going to be good for
We
you,
thought
brother.
It was going to be good, but unfortunately, there's some situations going on with the girl who got karate chopped by Miguel's leg. Her name is Kiati Shah, and her lawyer tells TMZ that she's still suffering as a result of the leg chop. He said some of the difficulties she's experiencing are cognitive in nature and lead to suspicion of a neurological head injury. He said immediately after the incident, she was given an ice pack, but it wasn't the proper ice pack. It was supposed to be something for your elbow. Instead of being rushed to the hospital, he feels that would have been proper treatment.
Wow.
But instead, they put her on an interview and showed that she was okay, when in fact she actually wasn't okay. Miguel got... afterwards tweeted, "I got caught up in the moment, but said that she was okay." So Shah's going to wait to decide until she gets receives word from her neurologist if she's going to go forward to sue or not, which I think that is kind of a cool...
Yeah, that she's even waiting. Sure, 'cause she could, wrong. Yeah.
But would you guys have sued?
Okay.
I mean, we all saw it, so... I got to go...
Now that we have the other piece of news...
Well, honestly, depending on... I came from a family with my family. Like, my parents just don't believe in it. It's weird. I mean, if it was, like, a serious... Like, Miguel... In my mind, my mom would walk up to Miguel, "You know you did wrong. Like, you should..." Right. Like, in that sense of it.
I would give them the opportunity to make it right. Like, and I would assume, like, you should be paying my medical bills.
Right.
Like, paying for me to go to the doctor or whatever. And then if that becomes an issue, then I would probably consider...
Yeah, like, if I have to fight you to get to fix something that you broke.
So you wouldn't ask for an extra $100,000 because...
I mean, I wouldn't just,
you know,
go
your
after
medical bills
money.
Are paid for, but
if it's something where you're missing work or you can't and it's legit, like, then I can't work right now. Right. Can you, whatever, this is what I would be making. Like, I believe that I think you should fairly, I mean, it would save our legal system a whole lot of money.
Yes, it would.
If we could just be like, "Hey, you did this, you know, can you help me out this way right now?" This, and set up some kind of personal contract together. Like, we could all work it out.
I'd rather this girl sue than Rihanna's herpy, that girl suing for Rihanna's thing. But actually, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
Billboard is playing the role of Justin Timberlake to Janet Jackson, if you saw this. Billboard comes out and says, "Miguel approached producers before rehearsals and asked if he could try to jump over the crowd during his performance, but producers shot down the idea, telling Miguel it was too dangerous."
Mm-hmm.
Miguel has not made a comment yet.
They don't want to get sued, too. Yeah. That's an insurance issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that you said they pulled a Justin Timberlake, though, because that is so true. I was so mad at Justin after that Super Bowl.
Justin lost his black card for that one.
Yeah, he lost many cards for that one.
You knew she had a booby under there. You knew
I love that you said that, actually.
So, the Billboard Awards, I don't know, I think it's kind of a low blow shot, but whatever. Obviously, you guys are losing money because that stage that this year was... speaking about losing money, Ciara. I love her. Unfortunately, some people are a little upset with her.
Love her bob. Anyway.
I like her head
I love
bob.
It short. Yeah.
So Ciara is supposed to be out here for LA Pride Festival. She's supposed to be performing the headliner for Saturday's performance, which in terms, actually, our very own Maria Menounos is going to be the grand marshal on Sunday for the LA Pride.
Hey.
So shout out to these ladies
for
repping them, the LGBT community. But Ciara, so apparently... Ciara is supposed to perform tonight at this club in WeHo called West Hollywood called Fantasy Fridays. And it's known usually if there's like a big event going on, it's at the Factory in West Hollywood. It's an awesome time. Totally recommend it. If there's a big performer in town, they're usually going to be performing there.
Mm-hmm.
So they had Ciara lined up. Apparently... legally, Ciara is not supposed to really perform anywhere else because she's performing at Pride. So she said, you know, "I'm going to take a step back from it. I can make an appearance instead of performing." So she only charged them $10,000 for an appearance. Now, on Monday, apparently something legal happened and Ciara was like, "Actually, you know what? We got to pull out." So the club's pissed off. They want to sue Sierra. I mean, for $10,000. On top of that, they feel like because of the advertising they've been doing, I mean, and now their headliner is Christina Milian. So you kind of went from Sierra to Christina Milian.
Christina Milian got a song like now.
I mean,
Dip It Low.
But that was like eight years ago.
I
think she's still performing it, though. Little, I think I saw.
Like 10 years ago? She got some new music? I get it, girl. You got a job. Good.
Yeah, but you got a job, girl.
She got
I'm
a job.
I'm not mad. Do it, girl.
I'm
sing
not mad.
Something.
I'm
Maybe
not
they'll
mad.
Read tweets like they do on The Voice. That's what she'll do.
Ooh.
She'll retweet. No? Oh, okay.
Why she can't sing?
We like Christina Milian. You can defend yourself when you come on Black Hollywood Live.
I have money for you, baby girl.
I love Christina Milian. But, I mean, to Sierra, the headliner of Pride, that was such a big event for her. So here's my question for you guys. Legally, do you think, I mean, I feel like, personally, I kind of feel like this stuff happens in Hollywood.
Legally, you need to fire somebody because they obviously missed something.
Legally, I feel like Sierra gave you a week notice.
Yeah.
I mean, Monday to today. At least she wasn't like calling you today like, oh, yeah, Pride told me I can't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, it's really all about what's in the contract because it's different for different contracts. So, I used to work in events at Vibe magazine and we had a lot of artists who would cancel things, you know, periodically. But sometimes we would ask for 30 days before. And then sometimes depending on the artist, if it's a big artist, you may ask, you know, you may say a week, you know, it just depends. It's every contract's different. So if she gave him a week notice, I mean, I guess this is more of a local club. Maybe that's okay. But to lose $10,000, I mean, just, you know, I wouldn't want to lose $10,000.
See, I'm sure Sierra ain't really worried about that, but
yeah, sure, she's not worried about that. But still.
I know that club is worried about because they got Christina Milian over there. Yeah. That's okay.
At least you're cute.
Fantasy Fridays. Make sure you guys check it out, West Hollywood, California. I didn't want to be rude. Okay, now let's move on to a little more serious topic.
Okay, yes. Serious. Let me get my serious face. We need like some serious music to break into serious topics.
Can we get some serious?
Can we get some serious music? Steven, if not,
that's like Hitchcock.
Okay, that's
welcome,
like
guys. I'm reporting live that two police officers in Texas have been fired after they were caught on video beating a woman who was arrested for an unpaid traffic ticket.
Actually, that was a really
at
good
least
voice.
They got fired, and that's amazing.
I felt like
you need to do that like all the time.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
That was a really good voice.
Okay, but no, really serious though. So this woman apparently she got pulled over. She had an unpaid parking ticket, so the cops were giving a little hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is
Kianika? Hold on.
Wait.
Hold on, y'all. Hold on.
Sorry. The black people need to read the names.
Kianika
Shay Diggles.
Diggles.
They call her Shay because Shay is in quotes, Shay. So that's not really her name.
Kianika.
But we're she gonna, goes by Shay.
We're going to refer to her as Shay Diggles. So Shay Diggles said that Jasper. Officer Ricky Grissom at first was polite when he pulled her over, and he allowed her to make a phone call to her mother to kind of handle the payment situation.
Mm-hmm. They let her pay her parking ticket?
Well, like to call him on to figure out how they said how to raise the $150.
What?
All right.
Okay.
So apparently the police officer started getting a little aggravated that he was waiting so long for her to figure out her situation. So he said, I've been waiting here all this time when I could have been out patrolling waiting on you. This is stupid. He just went to cussing and then said, well, you don't have to yell at me. Or she said, I'm sorry. She said, you don't have to yell at me after cussing at me. So there's a video of this, actually. And it shows the police officer pushing her up against a wall and then another police officer coming and taking her head and smashing it on a table.
I saw just a quick clip of this.
I was almost going to have us play it, and I was like,
It's pretty crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's disturbing in so many different forms.
Wait, but then she was forced on the ground and then dragged by her ankle to a cell.
That reminds me of some old, like, 1960s, you know, racist act KKK thing going on. I'm just saying.
What?
Wow.
So
don't get out of your cars, people.
Right.
You don't have to get out of your car.
Her attorney said she got her hair pulled out, broke a tooth, her braces got knocked off. It was brutal. So she got the charged. She got arrested, but the judge dropped her charge for resisting arrest, which, thank you. My thing is this. I've had so many almost similar problems to this girl here, and it's really sad because it's like there are times where you feel like you're a victim. It's like even like just, you know, nothing's wrong. My car is good. My registration, my license plate, everything is good, and then they still pull you over, and you know everything's good, but you're just nervous.
Well, this goes back to our conversation we've had several times on this show about the New York law, about
that I can't think of the name. I can't think of the full name. Where you can just look suspicious and they can frisk you and put you, what is it, stop and frisk?
Stop and frisk. That's what it is. So, I mean, this happens all the time. And I don't know if we report it all the time, but it doesn't seem to be changing.
No.
It does change.
Well, I'm gonna give some. Yeah. I mean, that was immediate. It wasn't like, oh, we need to go through this long process, and maybe they're okay. We're gonna suspend them with pay for now. Like, apparently they got fired. I mean, I don't know how long ago this was, but they at least got fired. But
I want to say this because this has happened to me on several occasions, and three out of the times
just be run into the law.
I have right. No, honestly, because I was innocent every single time, but three of the times I've had three officers fired and removed from their station because of this, because it's just, you have to fight hard enough. A lot of people get scared. So for everyone out there, like, really, really fight it, because it's not right. These people, if they're doing it to you, they're going to do it to somebody else.
To get to a
situation where you're smashing a woman against a wall.
Like, yeah, that's just crazy.
No.
It's insane. Bye.
And note to self, if, you know, there's two things that we've learned from this. A, don't hang out with Jesse on a Friday night.
For real.
Or
I need
B, if you want to get a cop arrested, you know the person to go to.
I have never been arrested. I have never gotten in trouble, so leave me out of that.
Well, Shay Diggles, I hope you feel better.
Right.
All right, girl.
Shout out to Shay Diggles. Shout out to Shay Diggles, and I hope you find that tooth, girl.
And I'm okay with you suing them for your braces to get back on.
Yeah, braces are expensive.
Some veneers and whatever you need.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I hope you find that tooth, girl. Hope you find that tooth.
A little more serious topic is Paris Jackson, Michael Jackson's daughter. So on the same kind of trackish as Amanda Bynes, but a little more serious.
Yeah.
She was rushed to the hospital on Wednesday, and sources are saying that it was a suicide attempt.
Yeah.
Now, some people are, so she was taken out of her Calabasas house on a stretcher at 2 o'clock in the morning and taken to the hospital. The 911 call came in at 1:27, and the reporters said that it was an overdose, but people are also saying that they saw slits on her
with a
wrist.
Meat cleaver.
Yeah, with a meat cleaver, they're saying,
Ooh. OD'd on Motrin.
So, on Tuesday night, though, Paris tweeted out some weird tweet saying, I wonder why tears are salty. And then yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away, now it looks as though they're here to stay.
Paris.
So we're told that she's doing okay, but I mean, another tweet that she sent out was, oh no, she did it on a like a video chat where she said Kurt Cobain is Jesus, and then she posted the whole thing on Vine. So I don't know what's going on there with Paris.
Well, I heard several different rumors. There's so many things that kind of the media is reporting. One is that she was supposed to go to a Marilyn Manson concert or something like that, and that her family told her she couldn't go, and she was upset about that. That's one report. The other report is saying that because of the everything that's going on with Michael's trial and all of the information that's being shared, that it's really kind of deteriorating her.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to believe.
I believe it all. Yeah. I think it's, I mean, think about her.
And she's in the public eye, like everybody's scrutinizing her and watching everything she's doing right now.
So who knows?
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
She's a cute girl.
And I love that haircut on her.
Yeah, girl.
It's very emo.
Maybe she found out it was really truthful that Michael may not be her father. You know, no, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I don't, you know.
Well, anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Who knows?
Well, hopefully she's somewhere healing and getting the mental help she needs to get through, because you're only, 15, 16?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she needs to watch some Oprah.
Yeah.
Or she needs Ayanna.
Right.
Oh, I don't know about that. No, but
yeah, after that DMX one. But all right, let's talk about Oprah right now and Tyler Perry. So there's a woman out here in Los Angeles who is kind of very upset. Now, we've always heard this whole, Some people support Tyler Perry. Some people like
it's a very sharp divide. Right. In the it's very sharp community. Divide. Yeah. It's like no very in between. Angry.
You either like him or you don't like him, or you just don't even.
Or you're me in the middle that has a conversation about it. Go there on, you know.
And let's have one. So it's over at change.org. There's a petition. Basically, we've all seen that Tyler Perry and Oprah are joining together. He has like what, 2-3 shows on there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Powerhouse.
And so she started a petition basically saying that he supports black stereotypes, and where Oprah's channel is supposed to be uplifting and for everybody and empowering. So she feels that the two are not a good mix, and I'm going to read a little part of the petition. She says, "For decades, Oprah Winfrey has used her television show to educate, empower, and uplift people of all races to be better versions of themselves. Owen has committed to be an extension of this work. Where it is clear that neither Oprah or Tyler Perry are experts on race and racism, they have also refused to utilize feedback from their conscious black community and scholars on racism regarding the damage that Tyler Perry and his brand of entertainment perpetuate against the black community. Wow. Stop supporting racist stereotypes on OWN and remove Tyler Perry programming. Dang. She says it just doesn't really uplift women of all, you know, she wants to help uplift women of all races, and she feels that Tyler Perry's shows and movies don't do that.
So, Courtney, I'm going to let you start, Courtney.
Oh, I got lots to say about that.
Go ahead, you start.
What's her name? We don't know her name.
She's a woman from LA.
A woman from LA. Here's what I have to say.
And if I was her,
this.
I would remain nameless too. You going against Oprah?
I ain't mad at what you're trying to say, but the reality of it is this is not the Oprah Winfrey Show. This is the Oprah Winfrey Network, which is also a business. And as much as I would like to believe in the super high intelligence of our greater community that is America, it's not really the case when it comes to entertainment. Some stuff for our country, we like it a little bit simple and a little bit maybe not so uplifting, maybe not so intellectual, and that's fine. I think in an entertainment space, there is room for all things. So I respect what you're saying. There's room to laugh at ourselves. There's room for the buffoonery, because I do believe a lot of the Tyler Perry stuff is buffoonery. But I do think it has a place. I think it has a place. And if right now OWN is able to stay a network, because Oprah is on struggles, because Tyler is bringing her some ratings, then I'm all for it. I just would like to see also there be an attempt to seek out other things to also sort of give the balance to that. But in terms of like uplifting women and uplifting, you know, whatever, in the end, Tyler Perry gives jobs to people of color on television.
For sure.
Point blank, period. Whether you like his writing or his stories or not, there are brown faces all over all of them shows on OWN.
That's true.
And those are working people doing things that they may not be doing otherwise, because right now those places don't exist on regular television. So I get you. I understand you. I think it's great that you're raising some sort of criticism of it being the only thing for scripted television on OWN. And hopefully that will mean that more, I would imagine that Oprah has already got other things hopefully in the works for scripted television that may be a little bit more highbrow, so to speak. And that's great. But how you gonna be like, Tyler, you need to get off Oprah Network? Come on now.
Okay, so I agree with some of the things you say, but I'm gonna disagree with some of them. So I'm gonna start with what I disagree with. I kind of agree with certain things with the woman from LA. We'll call her woman from LA because we don't know her
LA.
Name. Woman from LA. Because if you are someone who is an Oprah fan and you have been a fan of OWN, you are expecting to see certain type of programming on that show.
Tis true.
And I love Tyler Perry. Love him. I think he brings a whole, you know, different category for what we need to see. I don't agree with everything that he does, but I appreciate what he does. But if I am looking at OWN and I'm a fan of OWN and I'm looking at the programming and have been following the programming, I may be a little bit disturbed by some of these shows that Tyler Perry is bringing to the show or to the network, because it's different. It's a different platform than what the show kind of has advertised itself at. I mean, it's a, you know, you look at OWN for self-help. You look at OWN for, you know, Ayanla. What people were complaining about, they weren't getting enough Oprah because they wanted that help, that feeling of like, you know what I'm saying.
They wanted a 24/7 Oprah Winfrey show.
Right. And Tyler Perry shows do not necessarily, from what I've seen so far, don't bring that to the network.
Now, wait a minute.
they bring it. Go ahead.
I'm gonna say this because I feel like some people take it way too far to the left. Lisa Lampanelli.
Oh, that's yeah. That's out of space.
But yeah. One thing I will say about her, where I can compare Tyler, because I kind of read this and then I went back and like looked through a whole bunch of his work. If you're making fun of everything and it's just a mindset of a joke in a way, that is also a way of healing. So where you have the Oprah network, where it is more serious and more look within yourself type programming, to be able to have something that pokes fun, because he doesn't just make fun of black people. He makes fun of every ethnicity. He makes fun of TV shows. He makes the Jersey Shore, the Black Swan. I mean, he makes fun of, it's like Family Guy.
But that's not my problem with that. I don't have a problem with him making fun of other things. But my thing is that there's other networks for that. That's not what I'm looking for on OWN.
But no,
I need to go to other networks for that.
What I'm saying is OWN is someplace you go to feel recharged, refreshed, to enlighten yourself. So in a sense, I'm saying there are different ways to do that. Sometimes you need to cry it out in order to feel better about yourself. Sometimes you need to laugh it out. Sometimes you need different things, different emotions. So I can understand a sensitive, I mean, maybe 3-4 shows of Tyler Perry is a little too much to bring to Oprah.
Like all at once, maybe?
Yeah, maybe it's just like overkill.
I mean, let's try one. Let's see how the Madea movie does on the network.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know, it's kind of like, this would be a very interesting poll for our fans.
I just think, if anything, it gives them more room to keep, because OWN is obviously in a try to figure it out stage still.
Yeah, for sure.
So they're just trying to figure it out. Like, they're trying this. Okay, this may not work. This may not be great. Maybe we end up only with one Tyler Perry show and 3 of this other show because those were catalysts. Like, because we have the money now, because we have some ratings that we can, you know, green light these other things. So in the end, like, from a business perspective, he's bringing in an audience, which is only going to be good for OWN to continue to be able to do what their mission is to do. Yeah. And I can't find fault with that.
Like, I would love if OWN picked up Next Generation Wayans.
That'd be great.
I said it.
Yeah.
That'd
somebody
be great.
Somebody needs to. For sure.
I found the name of the person doing.
Let's
the
not LA put
woman.
Her name.
Put do her we out there, man.
Go
put
ahead.
Her out
what
there.
Is it, we'll Stephen from the booth? That's Stephen from the booth. Everyone who's listening.
Stephen from the booth.
Stephen from the booth.
Her name is Eva Vega. He's spearheading the movement.
Okay.
And
you got a picture and a social security number.
she's got a Facebook page called Eva Vega Diversity and Leadership, and it just seems like very. She's a very overly sensitive person who is offended by a lot of things.
Eva may be mad at us now because she's going to get
don't be mad, Eva Vega.
People
just
going
talk
to her
to
Facebook
us about
page.
It.
Yeah.
But
Eva, call into the show.
Yeah, let us know. Like,
or tweet us something.
A full perspective.
Let's get Eva on. I'm going to get Eva on.
Let's get Eva on for some hot topics.
Eva. It's a good plan, though. I mean, I'm not mad. Take your right to protest and share and whatever and make it. Make change. Yeah. That's what you're trying
Thank
to do.
Thank you, Stephen, by the way, for that information.
There you go. Making it happen.
And y'all can make it happen, too, by joining us at blackhollywoodlive.com. And not only that, but join us over at AfterBuzzTV.com, your favorite network for all of your favorite TV after shows. We cover Real Housewives, Deception, Scandal.
Walking Dead.
Hemlock Grove. Everything and anything you can imagine. Check out AfterBuzzTV.com after you watch your favorite TV show.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Jesse. Now, Courtney, what do you got for us for gossip and rumors this week?
We've got even more gossip and rumors to go over and talk about. So this week, there's babies all over the place, and apparently Sherri Shepherd is partaking in that. She was on a search for a surrogate because, as you know, she, as some of you may know that watch The View and whatnot, she struggled to have a baby to begin with. She has an 8-year-old son, Jeffrey. He's doing fabulously, but she wants to have a child with her new husband of about 2 years, Sal. Yeah. And so they have officially, apparently, found themselves a surrogate because she told the Tom Joyner Morning Show that we found a drama-free uterus. We found a girl that didn't have any drama in her life. We're putting in our egg and Sal's sperm, and we'll let you know how it progresses.
You think she's Asian? That was a total joke. That was
racist. No, you know, we interviewed...
Bye.
we interviewed Sherry a couple weeks ago for our show, and she was talking about that. That was one of her topics because of the fact that she was getting her body in order, you know, and getting in shape. And then she had the book coming out. And she mentioned that she was, you know, baby making. It was on the radar.
She said she feels good. She's in her mid to late 40s, and she still wants another child and is ready to do it.
Well, she looks amazing.
Get it, girl. Do what you got to do. Mm-hmm.
And you guys are sharing, if you guys can go online and look at this, or you're watching this right now, you see that there are two similarities right now to this picture.
Yes.
There's pink.
Pink.
And nice curly hair.
I'm orange.
Yeah, this is oranges. Coral.
Courtney, yes. Courtney and Sherry are matching.
We have the
right
same
now.
Hairdo right now.
It's a very nice hairstyle.
You can't tell because I have these headphones on. But praise the Lord for wigs for black girls. Hey. Okay. Next. Okay, so there's more babies in the news.
I like your curls better.
I like both of your curls.
I like my frog. Good,
I like both of your curls.
But you know what? It's helps sometimes.
Sucking up to Sherry.
I like Sherry's
it's
curls.
It's all
too.
Good. I wish this was a Sherry wig, but it's not because I couldn't afford that one. Anyway, so in other news, baby news, Kim Kardashian is having a girl.
That's probably for the better. That's probably for the better.
I
wanted it to be a boy.
I
did want it to be a boy, but it's probably for the better that it's a girl.
Why?
Because she's going to be with him. Oh.
I feel like Kanye might be a little bit less crazy. I feel like
because it's a girl.
Yeah. I feel like with a boy, the names that he was playing with and like the whole, you know.
Your mother is Kim Kardashian. What in this day and age, Kim Kardashian is like Pamela Anderson. She is the sex symbol. Like, oh, that's Kim K. My chick bad like Kim K. This girl better come out looking like
something. And she ended up with Kanye's jaws and like.
And his strong features. I mean,
she's gonna be fine.
She's gonna. I'm
and she'll have the best plastic surgeons that Beverly Hills has to offer.
Not for a baby.
I'm just saying.
Well, I'm saying growing up, baby is not super adorable. I can name a few, but I won't because you're not supposed to talk about babies like that. So, congratulations. She will be beautiful because she will be your baby, and that's all that matters.
And they say you kind of want to be an unattractive baby. That's what the rumor. Because then you grow up to be beautiful.
Actually, I was cute little baby. I was real cute.
This room is an exception to the rule, of course. Yes,
I don't know what that's about.
Yes,
but she actually just had her, what was
baby
it?
Shower baby shower last weekend, yes.
It was some very interesting faces showed up.
Very beautiful, including
our queen
the lovely Maria Menounos. Got to go. And
Nene showed up.
Nene showed up, from what I hear. So,
which, I kind of would love to know what Nene and Kim Kardashian have to talk about.
It would be fun to sit in. I would like to hang out with
them. They have diamonds to talk about.
Nene, we could be friends.
Did you see
Kim, we could be friends.
Kanye's picture walking into the baby shower.
Yeah.
It was like this.
Hiding.
Just hiding underneath his
shit. But my dude wants to be at the baby shower anyway. That is like super girly.
Lamar was there.
But if you're going to hide, but this is my thing though. If you're going to hide, why show up?
He has to show up.
It's your baby shower, so why are you hiding? There's other.
Men don't come to the baby shower, so I don't know what that's about anyway, other than press being like, oh, Kanye wasn't at the shower, so he had to go. Like, I don't know why else he would be there.
Right.
I don't know. I
maybe that's old and country and southern, but whatever.
Whatever.
Moving on, they're having a baby. Excellent. And in other news, Miss Trina Braxton, whom some of you know as Toni Braxton's sister, is finally divorcing her cheating, trifling husband. And can I just say, for those of you that do not watch Braxton Family Values, this is a long time coming. I'm not trying to be up in people's marriages and whatnot, but the Braxton young ladies have some serious issues with their husbands. Mm-hmm. In fact, almost all of them, except Tamar, has some sort of cheating / philandering / messy husband type situation.
Yeah.
So this situation has been going on for 10 years. And they don't have any children together, but he raised her other two sons as his own, as far as I'm aware. His name is Gabe Solis. Trina Braxton is 38 years old, and she has finally freed herself because he was cheating on the internet. He was cheating in person.
Yeah,
she cheated with somebody else. Like, it was just...
It's time to let it go.
Why get married? Yeah. I don't get it. He ain't even that cute. But anyway.
Hopefully her sister Tawanda takes the same.
I know. Tawanda I don't know for real. Because, you know, you see him on TV and you're like, girl, why are you with him?
Right.
And they're still together. So something's there. Maybe it's real good. But nothing's that good. Congratulations, Trina. Hope you guys have a great life.
Separately.
Speaking of great lives.
Separately, right.
Speaking of great lives, Lil Scrappy wants to get his great life together.
Good.
And he has entered rehab.
Good for him.
First, I was like all excited, like, yay, he chose to go to rehab. Because like there were so many reports that said, you know, Lil Scrappy chooses to go to rehab. He didn't really choose to go to rehab. His options were jail or rehab. So it's kind of like, okay. So basically, He was in court because he had a probation violation because he did not pass his drug test. And he basically admitted, yeah, I'm addicted to the weed. And the court was like, boo, jail, or you're...
Addicted to the weed.
Addicted to the weed. So he's going to go to rehab. And
scrappy, I'm according to his mama,
he apparently also needs to go into some therapy because he has a very abusive physical relationship with his fiance, not fiance, slash baby mama, Erica. Apparently, Erica beats on him for real, and we don't see it all on TV on Love & Hip Hop Atlanta. So Mama D, Scrappy's mama, was like, he needs a whole lot of help.
But that's interesting that it's coming from her, though, because she brings a lot of the drama to the show, too. So I'm surprised that that's coming from her.
She did a little interview talking about how violent Erica has been towards Lil Scrappy and that we don't get to see the half of it. Like, because in this previous episode, Erica pushed him or something. And it was, but I was like, Mama D, you ran in the house. Like, you were going to beat the hell out of that girl. So I assume they're all fairly physical.
From a very close inside source to Scrappy.
Special details.
Scrappy seems to be... I can see Erica being kind of violent.
Yes.
Sometimes, though, it can be deserved in a sense of...
Oh, my God, Jesse.
You got the exclusive.
I'm just saying, he's one to plan situations out in which he looks like the good guy. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And y'all can take it how you want to take it. But I could understand Erica's frustration with Mama D and Shay.
Understandable.
That and her frustration was Scrappy.
Translation, tweet Jesse and he'll give you the scoop.
He'll DM you the scoop. In the meantime, good luck in rehab, little Scrappy.
I hope it works. I feel like maybe he needs to get away from his mom for a while.
I think he needs to like get out of that whole everything for a while. And maybe just have your daughter visit every once in a while or something.
But you watch the show?
I have seen episodes of the show.
Comes off depressed.
He is, yeah.
And he's
gained
a lot of weight.
Yes.
Because I went back and watched, like, what was it? The Money in the Bank. Yeah. Like, he was really skinny.
Well, yeah, he seems unhappy.
Muscular.
He smokes weed all the time and eats, because that's what you do when you smoke weed. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Maybe clear head, clear mind, clear heart, do wonderful things. Yes. Good luck. Boo. Hope you do great. Speaking of doing great, Jay-Z is just... Great doesn't even
We just need to clap. We just need to clap for him. Every week.
You got music. You're on tour. You have a freaking sports agency. You have movies. And now you are about to close a $20 million deal with Samsung. And basically, he is negotiating a sponsorship with Samsung. And according to the New York Post, this eight-figure deal would reportedly include streaming music service as a way for Jay-Z to sell music. And Samsung Electronics to sell their phones. So they're basically like coupling the music with the phones and doing some kind of deal of special streaming, and it's going to be very lucrative.
I have to give him an extra prop, because we talk about a lot of the negative things on the show as far as artists who, you know, I'm not going to say any names, Rick Ross, Lil Wayne, who have had certain situations where they've teamed up with these big advertisers and brands and it's been negative.
Yes.
Jay-Z, you keep doing it, brother, because you are setting a tone for so many other people, you know, so everyone needs to follow his footsteps.
Follow in your footsteps, because you seem to be doing great. So congratulations, Jay-Z and Samsung. You guys look out for it. I don't have a Samsung, but maybe one day. I think my big TV downstairs is. Anyway, so speaking of the Jay-Z family, Beyonce is in the news again, as usual. And this week, it was a little bit different. So, basically, Beyonce has gotten some criticism for her attire at the Chime for Change concert, which was held on June 1st in London. As you can see, she was wearing, like, a little leotard-type nice... I mean, you don't really call that a leotard, but that's essentially what it is. But it was Gucci, which is real nice.
It's sexy.
But there was a lot of criticism that she was given. Some women were commenting that basically this concert, Chime for Change, is an organization that's to uplift, educate, and empower women around the world. So the comment was that basically, Beyonce, I mean, really, your underwear and heels, again, those types of things. Like, is that really the message you want to communicate at a concert that is specifically geared towards women and situations that are trying to better themselves? So Jada Pinkett Smith decided that she didn't appreciate that people were coming down so hard on Madame Beyonce, and she wanted to talk about it. So she posted a nice long letter on her Facebook, and I will get through it because it's kind of hard to quote. So I'm going to read most of it. But here we go. There was some backlash about the performance outfits for the Chime concert. Since a woman's body has been deeply connected to sin, it's easy to forget all the power and beauty her body and sexuality possess. Yes, with this power comes great responsibility, but how was Beyoncé's tasteful outfit irresponsible? Here's the problem I see. A woman's body is too much power for one woman to have, even Beyoncé. Wow. Although we see corporations exploit this power through women and girls with far less clothing on than Beyoncé to sell their products, do we protest? But hey, a woman has to be in check, right? Know her position, since we've all been taught that a powerful woman is dangerous and that a powerful man makes the world go round. There's a little more, but I'll stop there.
I think after that statement, you don't even need to read it.
She kept going on.
She told us how
but,
she felt.
I was like, okay. I appreciate that Jada will speak out and say stuff about things going on. Like, I mean, and she's always got something very strong and interesting to say. I don't necessarily agree with her on this one.
Why?
Here's what I think. I'm the first one to believe in a showgirl. I'm not mad at Beyoncé. I think it's great. But do I think we should also think about what she's doing, wearing also, and what that is communicating to all these women that we're empowering? And do I believe in the woman's sexuality being this amazing, strong thing? Yes. But I do not also believe that that is the most powerful thing that she has about her. And as much as I love Beyoncé, that is what is communicated when she is constantly this way.
Okay.
Her sexuality and her beauty and her power is amazing, should be embraced, and we should all love it. But I think, just considering that this specific charity is about the education and empowerment of women across the globe, I would have considered maybe that's not all I want to do all the time. I get that that's her look right now. Like, that's what's going on with costuming, and that's what everybody's trying to do, because everybody has been trying to do it, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Ciara was in it for something, and, like, everybody's in it. So I get it. But it's kind of like, okay, maybe that's not such a bad thing to think about, Beyoncé.
But do you think that she's trying to prove something in effect with all these pregnancy rumors? Do you think that that might have been something that was involved with the outfit?
She's like, maybe in like, those outfits.
Like, hey, you know, I'm going to show this to prove and shut these rumors down.
I think Beyoncé is sexuality. Like, yeah. Everything she performs, she's always in cut, short. I mean, Super Bowl wasn't necessarily that, but it was that with a skirt.
I'm actually surprised that she's fully covered on the top.
Yes.
Which, that's the only thing that I'm kind of siding with Jada on, in the sense of, for this show, you know, it's about the legs,
yes.
Which, okay, fine, the legs. But after hearing you say that, Courtney, yeah, I agree. I think Beyoncé is mostly known, like, oh, that's Beyoncé. That's the hottest chick in the game. That's what you know Beyoncé as.
Yeah.
She's going to upgrade you. She's going to be dancing. She's going to be touching herself. Like, but, and then there are a lot of people who sit there and complain, well, Beyoncé's voice ain't all that. Beyoncé,
oh,
she
please.
Ain't
oh,
all
that's
that.
Just, that's just
oh,
the haters.
So I feel like this was a moment for Beyoncé to have a Michelle Obama moment.
Yes.
And dress in something that we wouldn't expect you to, and wow us with your vocal presence.
Yes.
Unfortunately, if you didn't catch the Chime for Change show, this picture is the only thing you're going to be able to remember from the show. Mm-hmm. And so what's going to catch your attention? I can't stop looking at her legs.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking at everything. Yeah. So,
because she's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody, and I respect that Jada is like, you know, there's lots of other opportunities that we don't like attack people for,
mm-hmm.
for doing much worse than what Beyoncé did. And I totally agree with that. But at the same time, Beyoncé is in a very special position. And this was a very special.
And she
specific.
Was the headliner.
She was the headliner. And she is like coupled with this organization now because of a variety of reasons. But she's like a face for this sort of this movement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, we can get through things through our sex, but if we're trying to, you know, preach education and all these other things, like, sometimes a little bit more demure would be nice. And it's funny that now we look at this and we're like, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
Because,
well, I mean, compared to what we see a lot on television right now,
now,
a lot of performers,
like,
that's actually basically like a full dress.
She might as well have a dress on.
Yeah, she might as well have a dress on.
And she's always preached about, with costuming, how her mom taught her it's either boobs or legs.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not both and that kind of thing. So I totally respect that. By all means, I'm not telling Beyoncé to put clothes on all the time. But in this instance, I think Jada came down a little bit hard on the people that were criticizing it, just because their criticism was just in relation to what this event was about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really the best we could do?
Right. Well, maybe Jada just likes the outfit, because I can see Jada in that
and
as well.
I'm mad. I'm
so.
And
girl,
Jada
I wish I would have been on it and be like, okay, I'm wearing it. So anyway, all regardless, right. They raised like $4.3 million in ticket sales, which is going to fund over 200 projects in 7 countries. So
Beyonce's legs did that.
The legs doing the business regardless. And in conclusion.
Oh God, I'm going to sleep.
Don't you did not. In conclusion. Beyonce's sister, Kelly Rowland, is still in the news. And she continues to open up excessively about her abusive past and her relationship with Beyonce and all the things that happened. And some of the things that came out this week is that she admitted that she's the one that checked out on Beyonce, even though the media kept trying to make it seem like Beyonce was the one like shunning her and not being friends with her anymore and all that crap. And in 2005, as we spoke last week, Michelle and Beyonce definitely wrote the song Girl for Michelle, but she wasn't ready to hear it yet. But she also said that her abusive man, who she still has not named, is a better person now. He is a different person now and in a different place.
All right.
So good for him. Good for you. I'm sorry, but I'm tired of hearing about it.
You know, listen, if it helps her sell records, let's just sell her.
That's why it's gross. Because it's like one instance where she broke down, and then, of course, they're going to ask her about it and interview. Like, okay, fine. Why is she talking about it? Well, I guess everybody interviews and asks the same questions, so it's not really her fault.
Right.
But I kind of feel like at this point she could be like, well, I've said my piece about it. Let's move on.
Yeah, or like make a bigger statement. Like, and then be done with it. It's like, I love Kelly Rowland. I think I love her musically. Now, to me, this whole story and thing is just getting, it's tainting her for me in the sense of like, is this what you really want? Your fame is riding off of, oh, well, Beyonce wasn't friends with you. Beyonce wasn't there for you. Or, you know, a lot of people can relate to her with this issue. I think it's I think her coming out and speaking about something that we all kind of knew and, you know, kind of clearing the air about it, I like that. However, I feel like come out, make a statement, make a movement of it, and then start putting it in your music. Be the Destiny's Child, the one woman Destiny's Child. Make those women empowerment songs. Don't go on a campaign of like, I was sad and hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like this is the same formula that happens to everybody who releases an album. There's always some story and theme of, and when I say this, I'm not disregarding her experience because I am sure that this was a traumatizing experience, mm-hmm. whoever this man was with her. But, you know, everybody has to have a story when they release new music or a new project. So this is her story. So these are things that she's revealing now. For me, like, I don't have any emotion either way towards it because of the fact that it's like, it just seems like it's just the formula that record labels do or movie studios do. It's like that typical formula.
It would have almost been cooler had she just like sang the song, even if she had her breakdown moment on stage and was like that. And if she was interviewed about it later, just be like, I said it in the music and left it. I would have been like,
that's more interesting
to
me.
Thank you, girl. Yeah.
Like, I hate that they keep bringing Beyonce into it. Yeah. It's like,
because it's making it about Beyonce and Destiny's Child and not about Kelly at all.
Right. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Kelly, we've talked about her several times on our show the last couple of weeks. So if you missed any of that conversation, you should go to iTunes and you can download our previous shows, our this week's show. We have a Portraits, Black Hollywood Portraits show. We have Black Hollywood Next. And we also have Black Hollywood Stand Up Sit Down. Any of those various shows you can go to and download on iTunes. Leave us a comment. Give us a rating. Let us know how you guys are feeling about the shows. I want to give a shout out to Caesar's Girl. She gave us a shout out this week on iTunes and 5-star ratings, which we really like. And she let us know how she felt about the show. We took that in consideration. We also want others to do the same thing as we're building the network. And we really appreciate your feedback and want to know what you guys think about us. So go to iTunes. Pass it along to a friend, rate and comment us, and because we do pay attention to it.
Wait, so if I write a comment, Daryl, you will read my name on
the air? Read your name on the air? Hey.
What happened? Oh, what?
You will read our name on the air.
I will read your name on the air. I promise. Any of us will read your name on the air.
Yay.
You will be instantly famous, let me tell you. No, okay. All right. Thank you, Courtney, for the rumors and gossip. All right. To this week's hot topic. Sizzle, sizzle, sizzle. All right. So NPR, which I listen to on a daily.
Yes.
The National Public Radio Station, which if you guys don't know about that, they recently conducted a survey, something similar to what we were talking about with Soledad
O'Brien
from CNN a couple weeks ago. It was a survey on Black Americans. And in the survey, I have to read a couple of the items because there are a lot of quotes, but they teamed up with the Harvard School of Public Health and Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And it basically was trying to figure out like how Black Americans were viewing themselves and just viewing society as a whole, as we've kind of started to grow, and we have a black president. There's a lot of changes in the black community. So some of the surveyed answers were 86% of black Americans were satisfied with their current lives, which is a good thing. 60% said that they would eventually achieve the American dream of financial security and home ownership,
that is
which
huge.
Is very important.
That is huge.
Very important, especially with the economy the way it is right now. 53% felt their lives were better in recent years, especially since the election of Obama, which
Another
is very important.
Another huge thing.
The survey was conducted with about 1,000 African-American people who lived majority in the South and urban areas. The median age was 18 to 49, so it's across the board. Some of the concerns that were included in the survey were, as a whole, African-Americans are still concerned about the financial stability of our economics and our economic state. Health care concerns, a lot of people are still fearful that, you know, there won't be any health care for people and taking care of their families. And a lot of people don't even have insurance, which was one of the big things. The quality of local entertainment in urban neighborhoods, which I found very interesting, because it's saying that in a lot of the urban neighborhoods, there aren't an overly access of movie theaters and nightclubs. But we also know the reason behind that. I hate to say it because, I'm black. But in certain areas, you know, there have been some situations where those privileges have been taken away. I'll say that.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that in order for us to complain about that, we also have to change our mentality and change what's going on in the community and our behavior as well.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
So we can't, you know, completely be upset about that particular thing. This is the most interesting thing about the survey that I found. When asked who was looking for a long-term relationship, 43% of the African-American men said they were looking for long-term relationships. 25% of the women said that they were looking for relationships, long-term relationships. The study says that black women are more concerned with financial stability of their partner versus their counterparts, the white women and Latino women.
Amen.
And it also said that black women are more likely to attend graduate school and appear to have more security than black men, which I disagree with.
That is true, though.
It's true about the school.
True in times of going to school, yes.
Yeah, but I don't think...
Do you realize there's a statistic that black women, once you get... If you get any postgraduate degrees, you're... the chances that you will meet a black man on the same educational level as you and economic level as you and end up married past the age of like 30, like zips down. I don't remember the exact number, but it zips down to something like really? Tragic, like under, I'm pretty sure it was under 20%. So like at that point, so a lot of black women kind of just give up after that, like in terms of finding a black man if they want to be with an African-American man.
Okay, but here's my thing.
It's been that way
that.
For quite some time.
But it says in there that, you know, black women are more concerned with that marrying up, basically is what it's saying.
It's not saying marrying up.
I mean, but it sort of is saying marrying up.
Different. No, it is saying that at least financial stability, which means if I'm financially stable, I'm not going to marry somebody that is a
that don't
driver,
have a bed, that don't have
no
a car,
regular,
that don't have.
I didn't see the part of at least.
At least you did not see marry up.
Right, come on, Daryl, because
you're financially stable.
Wait, this is what I'm saying.
But at the same time, you know, sitting there, because even the guys that filled that out, I mean. I'm sure there are some men who filled that out and answered that question because they felt like, well, you know what? I don't want us black men to look bad. Where girls are like, you know what? Now that I think about it, I feel you,
but I thought it was really interesting that the fact that it said that the white women and Latino women were less concerned with that. And so, but what do you think that is in our society that black women need to have that?
I can explain that to you because there is a very, okay. White women, for instance, to compare that doesn't even make sense because their educational and sociological like development is way different than ours has been.
You could do that.
So now that we are educated and able to get to these other jobs, we want a partner that has that same motivation. You don't want it. Not many women want to be in a situation with a man where they are motivated and they're doing all this stuff, trying to grow and climb up this career ladder and doing all this, but their man is like fine just being here.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine if you want to be there, but I don't want to be there with you.
Yeah, I
want
with
somebody
that.
Like so.
Everybody
I feel like
does,
black
yeah.
women get this like You want a man that's got money. And it's not just about money. Financial stability is about your education, and about structure, your motivation, about your desires for the future to grow and be more than you are right now. That's why there's people that desire and think they can have the American dream. You can't have an American dream if you're just okay being right here all the time.
So do you think that it's just something that black women are a victim of, in the sense of like they're just... It's basically not true that they're being typecast as this type of person that only wants a guy in this realm. And then realistically, that's not the case, because I have a lot of male friends who say, you know, there's always that rumor that black women are gold diggers. I'm not saying that all of them are.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying all of them are, but I'm just saying that where did that stereotype come from? Because, it had to come from somewhere.
No, but come on. How many white girls are there that get
that want to deal with the dirtbag on the, like, that's not doing anything with his life? And like, also, white women don't get the same crap for
because,
that.
Because I'm going to say it like this, looking at different races.
From our Puerto Rican.
Right.
from our light-skinned, biracial. No,
but honestly, when it comes to the people that I have been around, as a strong black woman, I feel like they want someone with structure because they understand who they are in today's society.
Right.
So they want someone who is going to be equal or above, which I think is the normal thing. I think everybody should be striving for someone of the same.
I have no problem with that.
Now, unfortunately, I have some white girlfriends who are kind of in the boat of, well, you know, yeah, I went to school, I did this, I'm doing okay, and they feel a need to want to, I feel like it's like the help syndrome, like, or, and I'm not saying that they go for a certain type of race, but they tend to go to someone of less caliber. And it's just something that I've noticed with a lot of women.
Is it the bad boy rebel kind of
I feel like
scenario,
yeah,
you think?
When it comes to white girls, I feel like, yes, I see that more than I do see with my black girlfriends.
Yeah, because black girls, ain't nobody got time for that.
Exactly.
Like, there's enough crap in the world that black women have to deal with on a regular basis that we don't need to have to deal with that too. Like, can you at least be on the same level as me so we can work together on the climb? Because if I got to pull you up and then drag myself up, that's just too much work.
I just think it's interesting that, because, you know, there's been several different surveys, there's been definitely some things in the past of stereotyping black women, and I'd like to hear your viewpoint on it, because this is what I feel like. When things keep coming to light, is there some truth to it?
The only truth to it is that American society is very cruel
is
to
believing
black women.
It.
It's very cruel to black women. And that's a long conversation for another time.
We're going to continue that conversation a little bit later. You know, I don't want Courtney to come over her chair on this side.
A long, long conversation.
A long conversation.
A whole lot of other stuff.
America is just cruel, period, when I really think about it.
It can be.
It can be very cruel.
It can be. But it is also the land of opportunity and wonder. So, hey, you can be whatever you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can be whatever you want to be. And some people who want to be whatever they want to be are in North Carolina, apparently.
Arrested.
Because, yeah, they wanted to
be
arrested. They wanted to be arrested and in jail, apparently. Because this week, the NAACP had a protest in North Carolina, and 140 demonstrators were arrested. They said that they were actually taken out in plastic bindings. They said that the rally was against the state's Republican-led General Assembly. They have some big disagreements in the way that it's being run there, and people were not hearing it. They were standing up for what they wanted to believe in. 1,000 people attended the rally. They said that hundreds entered the legislative building wearing green wristbands, because they said that beforehand they already knew who was going to get arrested, because the people came in with the wristbands was like, I'm protesting this thing. So the others who were just cheering along, they said were taken to detention homes as well. So this was a big thing. The other things that they were protesting were cuts to the social programs and changes to voting laws. The NAACP said that Republicans are violating the Constitution. They said that over 500,000 people will lose Medicare in July of 2014. 165,000 unemployed will lose benefits starting in July of this year. And the NAACP says just because you're the majority does not mean that you are the authority. So, you know.
Oh.
Good for those people that stand up
stand
for what
up
they
for
believe
you
in.
What you believe in.
You know?
Fight for it, because nobody's going to do it for you.
Get up and stand up. That's what
stand
I say. Also, you know, they're also in the news a second time this week, also before the NAACP, for calling for the resignation of two Virginia officials who are allegedly, well, not even allegedly, who sent racist emails in regards to Michelle Obama. Board of Supervisors member Byron Bailey And Herbert DeGroft forwarded two emails internally to different staffers involving Michelle Obama. Lord. One of the emails claimed that National Geographic had offered Michelle $50 to pose nude, which is just clearly offensive. The other email displayed a photograph of a topless woman in tribal garb with a caption saying, "First, this is the First Lady's high school reunion." Mm. Now, Bailey and DeGroff are both white.
Right, like, what if I emailed a picture of, like, a pig with a little dick, like, and just started emailing? You would not like that, sir. That is just rude.
It's just rude. And people are, NAACP and other people are calling for their resignation, so that's a great thing.
Fire.
Yeah, they're calling for the firing. You know, this is my thing. We've talked about this conversation before also on the show, because we had the politician, Richard Siebel, the Montana federal judge who sent the racist email about Obama. When do people not understand? First of all, don't send the crap on your work email. Let's start there. Let's just use our brains there. Let's start there. Secondly, let's just not even send racist emails.
And secondly, can we just stop chain letters?
Let's just stop chain letters. Let's just...
And those long forwards, just give it up.
Nobody likes them. You're going to get caught, apparently, because you're going to send it to somebody that's going to be pissed off about it, clearly.
If you wouldn't post it on Facebook, don't post it in an email.
Yes.
So, you know, what do you guys feel about, you know, this has been happening a lot. What do you think that we need to do to change this? Do you think that people should just be instantly fired? I mean, obviously there's not a lot that we can technically do, but what's your viewpoint on it?
I just think it's a moral thing. It's just like, do you have kids? Like, how would you, like, let's just drop the race situation about it. Like, morally, like, if you have a child and that child was in school, would you want the kids to be sending out letters or pictures about your daughter, about anybody? One, morally, it's just dumb. Secondly, you come off like a racist, ignorant pig. Yeah. So
I don't think these guys care, though.
No, yeah. I know. And that's the point. The fact that you don't care about that shows that you don't care about the people of America. So what are you doing in your position?
Yeah.
What's scary is that, to me, is that there's a lot of these type of people that are in these high positions.
Of course there are.
So hopefully things will change as the next generation kind of swoops in. But I mean,
so basically they need to die first and then just like change it over. But I don't, people, come on.
People, come on.
Strong statement. Die first and then we're going to get some new people.
Because it's just like at some point you can, okay, hate me because I'm black. Fine. I'm fine. Sorry. If you can deal with that in your spirit, I don't care. But all I have to say is, at some point, at least in terms of our leaders and people that are deserving of a certain level of respect, maintain that level of respect solely because that is your president and that is your president's wife.
Right, like, you're so mad.
You can hate them for being black all you want to, but you respect the office of the president and the wife and his family, because that is the institution that we have established as what we want to run our country. Yeah. And unless you're trying to leave or trying to secede and pull off an 1865 deal, like, you just need to shut up and be mad with your cousins that all have the same attitude, them doggone black people, and be mad about it. And that's fine, because you have every right to. But come on, you at work.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I leave that for a game of Pictionary if you're going to.
Leave it for your racist house party.
Right. Exactly, your racist house party.
Speaking of the other races, races have been in full effect this week, apparently.
They have.
So we have now a Cheerios ad.
I just can't.
I love this ad, actually, which features an interracial couple. It features a black father and a white mother and a young black daughter. It's been under fire this week because YouTube trolls. Yes, I'm talking to you trolls.
Gremlins.
You guys have made a lot of comments about this ad, which we're going to show in a couple seconds. You know what? Let's just show the clip and then we'll get into it a little bit.
Mom.
Yes, honey?
Dad told me that Cheerios is good for your heart. Is that true?
Says here that Cheerios has whole grain oats that can help remove some cholesterol, and that's heart healthy.
I want to
so
cry.
So the ad features, as I mentioned, an interracial family. Love the ad.
It's so precious.
It's adorable. Cute little girl. Cute family. But the trolls have said some really absurd things about this ad. One of the, you know, they removed a lot of the comments actually off of it. But some of the ones that I captured were, The trolls said, the racist trolls, I must throw
you
in.
Should be these are the people you need to be reading their YouTube handles.
Yeah, you're right about that. It said, the ad was disgusting and makes me want to vomit, was one of the comments. Another was...
Well, maybe they don't like Cheerios.
Maybe they don't like Cheerios. maybe that's it, Jesse. The other was, this is shocking to me to watch this because black fathers don't stay around for their families.
My daddy is at home right now. Forget you. Who says that?
My father's deceased, but he would be at home.
Exactly.
If he was alive.
He is there in spirit.
He is there in spirit.
Who are you?
You know, so what I appreciate is that Cheerios and General Mills have made a statement. They said, this ad reflects today's American family. We completely support the ad, and we're behind it 100%, and we're going to continue to run the advertising schedule for the remainder of the year.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
It's dumb. Good for them. Dumb.
Was anybody else surprised that it's, like, so new to people? That I started to think, like, wait, has there really not been that many
biracial families? Do you know, I rewatched it because I was like, wait, what happened?
Why is it such a problem? Like, I just thought by now we've seen enough, I mean, biracial-looking people sort of in ads and black and white. Like, I just didn't see
this actually
shocking.
Baffles me.
I will say
me.
This.
This baffles me.
Little bit of a double advocate.
Okay. You double advocate.
But I love the interracial casting. I might have casted different actors or actresses.
Why?
I think the little girl's adorable. I just don't know if I believe that that's her daughter. In the communication between the two of them, just the way she presented it, okay. I just didn't get the, like, motherly
vibe.
Well,
that's an actor.
That's acting, and that's all I'm saying. So that's as a different statement.
But racially... There ain't nothing wrong with this ad, and it's ridiculous because I'm not even going to say the blog site. I won't do that. But that posted it up where I found it, and then I saw it said racist Cheerios.
Yeah, that was the advertisement, the headline for
that. I feel like racist. We should say the statement. I'm not saying the link.
It's terrible.
And so I went back, rewatched it, like literally two or three times, like looking in the back, like what is there going
to
be, like
to
a little
out,
like leprechaun or something, like who
she
are they making fun of?
She wants her daddy's heart to be healthy, you jerks.
And it's just never mind.
I mean, well, you know, it's funny. I was kind of going off of what Courtney was saying. Courtney is asking if there have been other interracial ads, and I feel like I've seen a lot lately. And some of the ones I did find that were mentioned were Blockbuster. Did an ad with
her. They need to do something.
And Philadelphia Cream Cheese, which featured a black woman with a white husband and her interracial kid. So, you know, I think that we're going to start to see a lot more of these ads. So all you trolls and haters, be prepared to I guess, make a lot of comments because I don't think these ads are going to stop. I do believe that this is the new generation of ads. So
that's the new generation of America, y'all.
Yeah, America.
Like, look at that face. How could you
be mad at that cute face?
How are you angry?
And how can you be mad at those Cheerios?
She's so cute. Right. Well, they're not honey nuts, so I'm mad, but you know.
Oh, well, all right. On that note, well, guys, thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live this week.
Now we know how Courtney
feels and what she'll be doing for the rest of the weekend. Courtney, where can your fans find you?
On Twitter, at Stuart Starlet.
At DJ Jesse J.
You're not going to let me say your name first, Jesse, before
Jesse Janity, at DJ Jesse J.
All right. And I'm Dario Christian. You can find me at Dario Christian on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you guys for tuning in. I am sure that we're going to bring a lot of hot topics again next week for the show. But please remember to also go to the buzzer meter question of the week and vote. Should Tyler Perry be removed from Oprah's network? You let us know how you feel. We've given our 2 cents today, but we'll definitely have more of a conversation about it next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you soon.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spector, Dario Kristen, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network. If you have questions or comments, tweet us at BHL Online or email us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. For more exclusive content, visit blackhollywoodlive.com. This has been a presentation of the Black Hollywood Live Network. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.